I'm Paige Marie Bessler, and this is the Studio 2 Extra.
The picture is presented to, and the Oscar goes to,
and the Oscar goes to,
the red carpet, the winners who made history, the unforgettable speeches, the big upsets, the envelope mix-up, the slap, the shiny gold symbol of Hollywood greatness. The 97th Academy Awards are happening this Sunday, and there are 10 Best Picture nominees. Filmmaker Allison Bagnell teaches at Drexel, and she knows a thing or two about movies. She's directed several indie flicks and co-wrote the screenplay for the 1998 cult favorite Buffalo 66.
30 years I haven't missed a game. I haven't won a championship since 1966, and I missed that game because that's the day I had Billy. Oh, I wish I never had him.
For me, Allison Bagnell is like the ultimate movie expert. We recently sat down to share some Academy Award predictions, and she has some pretty hot takes, plus a clear favorite this year.
Laszlo Tok, is that you?
What can I do for you?
Tell me, why is an accomplished foreign architect shoveling coal here in Philadelphia?
I'm afraid. It is not so simple.
Oh my God, the Brutalist is just like a banquet. It's like an incredibly good meal. I had no idea how masterfully and beautifully it would be directed. And a lot of people worry about the length of that movie. I saw it in a pretty packed art house at Ambler Theater, and I don't think anyone wanted it to end. When we got to the intermission, people were talking to each other and saying like, oh, I feel like I already got my money's worth. I can't believe there's more. But it's just metaphor and nuance and complexity. Also, the characters are, they're shaded. They're not necessarily like the really good guy and the really bad guy. Like, they're complicated.
Answer me something. Why architecture?
Is it a test?
No, it is not.
Is there a better description of a cube than that of its construction? There was a war on, and yet it is my understanding that many of the sites of my projects had survived. They remain there, still in the city.
One thing I love about The Brutalist is how people have conversations in the movie that are actually conversations that, like, if you want to listen to, because there's a rule in screenwriting, which is dialogue is meant to advance plot and reveal character. You see people having just a really cool conversation. I mean, kind of like a Tarantino movie, he does that. They just talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm. Did you just order a $5 shake?
Mm-hmm.
That's a shake. That's milk and ice cream.
Last I heard.
That's $5. You don't put bourbon in or nothing?
No.
And then you have a movie like I'm Still Here, which felt much more like it was following those conventional rules of screenwriting where we're going to move the plot forward with this dialogue, but we're not going to have conversations where we're just, what are this husband and wife, what do they talk about when they're alone?
You mentioned the length of that film, and long movies tend to get a lot of attention. Schindler's List, Gandhi, Oppenheimer, all won. They all have a runtime over 3 hours. I think the Academy loves a long movie.
Well, because I think people are confused with the Academy Awards, like, as far as what am I supposed to vote for? I have to vote for something epic and amazing. And even like when Martin Scorsese made Wolf of Wall Street, and I was like, wow, Scorsese's back. This is amazing.
Let me tell you something. There is no nobility in poverty. I have been a rich man, and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every f***ing time. Because at least as a rich man, when I have to face my problems, I show up in the back of a limo wearing a $2,000 suit and a $40,000 gold f***ing watch.
And he got berated by Academy members saying, this movie's disgusting. You know, it's so like the darkness and dirtiness, and that people didn't want to see that. And he literally got lambasted by, you know, aging Academy members.
Okay, when did the Oscars get it right for you?
I mean, I was elated when Mahershala Ali won for Moonlight.
I've been here a long time. And I'm from Cuba. A lot of black folks in Cuba. You wouldn't know that from being here, though.
If I see a really beautiful movie, I I feel like I'm slightly, like, floating slightly off the ground afterwards.
This one time, I run by this old lady. I was running, hollering, cutting a fool, boy.
When Moonlight won, you know, swept, got Best Picture and everything else it got, that was the one time the stars really aligned for me. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't get disappointed by the Oscars this year. I couldn't believe it, actually. I couldn't believe it.
At some point, you got to decide for yourself who you want to be. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
So you love Moonlight, you love The Brutalist this year. I know you watched Wicked.
I tried to watch Wicked. I mean, I haven't seen the play Wicked, so I was thinking maybe I would enjoy it more if I was injecting things I knew from the Broadway play.
Are people born wicked? Or do they have wickedness thrust upon them?
I was surprised how not entertaining it was, and I couldn't... It kind of felt like a series of music videos.
Loathing, unadulterated loathing.
For your face,
your voice,
your clothing. Let's just say,
I tried twice.
Okay, but some film buffs have sort of a pretentious reputation. Like, they just don't pay attention to big box office hits, like Marvel movies, or like Wicked in this case. But you're not saying you're sort of looking down on it for its scale or for how mainstream it is.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I'd be great. I was like, I like Gladiator 2. I loved that. You know, I was just all over that movie. I loved the newer Batman with Robert Pattinson. I didn't want that to end. Like, it's not, I don't only like weighty. I just thought Wicked would really be entertaining. But I was surprised it didn't, I didn't find it entertaining, or I didn't feel any joy in there, or, but not out of snobbery. I like a good entertaining film with music, but it wasn't, I was surprised.
I wanted to ask you about the award show itself. So the Oscars have lower ratings than they used to. And I'm curious if you think there's pressure to give more attention to blockbuster movies like Wicked in this case.
So you're saying, yeah, do they need to, that maybe they're choosing, they're nominating movies that are going to have a wider appeal. Oh, I think you're probably right. That is one of the reasons that they're nominating broader appeal movies. Yeah, it's a moment of reckoning for the Oscars. I think they don't really know what they are right now. But also I think there's a bigger situation in the industry. You know, I think Hollywood is really lost and confused right now because the blockbuster, you know, changed everything. Once Jaws came around, Star Wars, and we had this situation where a movie could make millions and millions and millions, even billions of dollars. Just like everything got restructured around making like the big bucks and trying to like make the big hit. But I think movies need to be made for less money, but be creative. I think that people are hungry for movies that are interesting and have some heart. Movies like Anora.
Okay, hello, this is the beautiful Annie. She's gonna take care of everything you need tonight. Annie, make me proud.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
You know, we've got so much TV to watch. We can watch movies. They come straight to streaming now. Like, but I think that the Hollywood is still structured around aiming for the big hit and the blockbuster. And I think they have to regroup. Yeah. Like a movie like Anora, inexpensive, but incredibly entertaining and full of life. And I saw Anora in a packed, sold out theater. People were going crazy, you know, and it didn't cost a lot of money, but it had ideas. So I think Hollywood's a little lost right now. And I think the Oscars reflects that right now, just even having something like Anora and Wicked.
Oh, wow. I really wasn't expecting that.
So when Demi Moore won the Golden Globe this year for The Substance, people really responded to the speech that she made.
30 years ago, I had a producer tell me that I was a popcorn actress, and at that time, I made that mean that this wasn't something that I was allowed to have, that I could do movies that were successful, that made a lot of money, but that I couldn't be acknowledged. And I bought in, and I believed that.
Do you think that she's a lock for the Oscar?
I gotta say, Demi Moore, I think she's a wonderful actress, and it's an exciting, courageous performance. Just like Nicole Kidman in Baby Girl, didn't know why she wasn't nominated. She was excellent too. I was astonished by where she was, just the places that Demi Moore was going with the character. I thought, wow, go you. I thought it was incredible.
I try to be myself.
Stop it. Stop it. You're taking it from me.
That's your little secret.
Stop. Like, we don't like to show a middle-aged woman. I mean, granted, with all the adjustments and surgeries, whatever, which sadly women feel they have to get to keep working. But even just to show herself the way she looks now, it's fantastic. It's courageous. And she's a really strong actress who hasn't always been in the most interesting movies. I even like that she took this movie. There's no protection in this movie, The Substance. There's nowhere to hide. And a lot of times actors like to feel more safe, especially as you get older. You kind of want to feel a little safer in the movie. And there's no safety in that movie. You know, there's nowhere to hide. It's an incredible choice that she was in it and went and trusted the director and just went through with it. Because then you have actors who will like take a film, but they'll, once they get into it, they're like, oh, no, I'm not going to actually go there. But she did.
There were a couple of biopics this year. A Complete Unknown was one of them. Then we had The Apprentice, which follows Donald Trump and his lawyer, Roy Cohn.
The government has failed to spell out one single fact concerning alleged discriminatory practices against blacks by the Trumps.
Are you a fan of that genre?
Yeah, I don't tend to be too interested in biopics. That's why I didn't go to the Dylan biopic. For me, a biopic is, they're always just stripping down the actual person so much. And just hitting like the high points of their life, the things that we are already going to find on Wikipedia. Like, I don't need to see the Wikipedia article like played out over 2 hours. Because that's the thing about an actor playing a real person. They can't really just kind of like let themselves go into the character, because they're thinking, I have to be faithful to this actual person. So if anything, I find that even really interesting actors can be sort of more reined in or constricted or confined when they're playing an actual living person.
Okay, so my last question. Letterboxd is a social platform for movie lovers, and they often ask directors and actors on red carpet to list their 4 favorite films. Can you do it?
I'm so glad you brought up Letterboxd. Each person writing a review, they put the movies they like at the top so you can know, this person writing that review, these are the movies they like. Because I feel like reviewers, like paid reviewers, they often act as though there's like an objective reality to a movie, to the quality of a movie. And so, you know, just the idea of thumbs up or thumbs down, right? Like, this movie is great. Like, everyone is going to respond very differently to a movie based on what they like. And I think a lot of times when people write reviews, professional reviewers, they're not letting everyone know, this is really the way I experienced that film. This is just me. This is how I feel. They're kind of like to put forth this notion that this movie is objectively good or bad, which I don't agree with, because people experience movies very differently. And I don't think the movies that I don't like are necessarily bad. They just don't touch me. I love Scarecrow by Jerry Schatzberg. All my favorite movies are pretty much from 1973, 74. It was a time when producers were not so caught up in trying to make the big bucks, because it was before anyone had really made those really big bucks yet. And so they were just kind of trying to like make their money back, make some profit. And they really wanted to get good reviews. They wanted to win awards. They wanted to have the kudos and the reputation for having made a good film. And it was a time when, for a brief moment, directors had more creative control. And they would do things on the cheap. Like, a lot of our movies we consider masterpieces, like Taxi Driver, like many of these movies from the 70s, were made very cheaply. but then made lots of money. Because I think movies don't come out well when they're made by a committee, when people have to compromise and it has to be one person's vision. You really have to go out on a limb to make a good movie. Like, you have to kind of walk along to the edge of disaster to make something that's really special and memorable. And so often those movies will be kind of flawed. That's why I don't mind flaws, because it's usually because people took risks and went out on a limb. So even I love, Last Tango in Paris by Bertolucci. That's also rightfully kind of a canceled movie because of what happened to Maria Schneider. But that's the most beautiful performance on film for me, Marlon Brando in Last Tango. So Scarecrow with Gene Hackman and Al Pacino by Jerry Schatzberg is, I love. And early Pasolini movies like Oedipus Rex. What else are my other favorite movies? I had a little list. Oh, I know, one of my favorite all times movies, okay, is Heaven's Gate.
It has been called the most controversial motion picture of its time. It is the most talked about and written about film of the decade.
Heaven's Gate, which is considered the biggest laughingstock, the biggest flop. I just saw it a few years ago and I was shocked. I was like, this is a masterpiece. I watched Heaven's Gate by Michael Cimino and I understood like the core of America and the dark underbelly of it. And Heaven's Gate, like, I just want that to be recognized as a masterpiece before I die. I think it's incredible.
That's Allison Bagnall, filmmaker and film professor at Drexel University. By the way, Heaven's Gate was critically panned because it went 4 times over budget. When it came out in the 80s, it was condemned as one of the worst movies ever made. But now, in 2025, people tend to agree with Allison that it's kind of a masterpiece.
Limited. Together we're unlimited.
The Oscars are streaming this Sunday at 7 o'clock on ABC and Hulu, too. Studio 2 is Tuesdays through Thursdays at noon on 90.9 FM and streaming live on YouTube. From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Paige Mary Bessler. And for the record, I loved Wicked.